This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
Hello and welcome to the Alternative Media. This is your Saturday broadcast where we discuss current events, politics, the disinformation, lies, deceit, and propaganda, the mainstream corporate-owned puppet media, and the fact that the federal government of the United States no longer has any resemblance whatsoever of representation of we the people. It is Saturday, March 26, 2022. We're in hour two of the broadcast. We're going to be taking your phone calls all this hour, and I welcome you to call in and have at it. Give me a little break. 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. If you can't call in on that, call in on 1-800-313-9443. This is where I always do my call to support RBN. Donate. If you enjoy the broadcast, ask for nothing. Donate to RBN. Let them know you enjoy it. Takes money to run a network. Like I say, Sam does such a great job on Saturdays for me. And, you know, you've got all the hosts. You've got a litany of various information and insight. Support Republic Broadcasting. All right, going to the phones. We got Art, Bruce, and Daryl in Canada coming up. Art, how you doing? What's on your mind today, sir?
Hey, Farron. Before I get to what I called in about, it was interesting, Joe Biden in his latest speech, he made mention of the New World Order, and we must lead it. Yeah. So you can make a mess out of that, too, right? And on the tranny thing you were talking about, not that I'm advocating for tranny, whatever, because I think it's all sick and disgusting, personally. But looking at it from an outside perspective, not taking either side, think of it like this. Women have been for so long complaining and bitching about wanting to be treated equal, and now that they're having to compete against biological males, all of a sudden it's unfair. Now that's just looking at it from an outside perspective, not taking either side.
Of course, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Art, because, and I'll be brief, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I've thought about, I remember Gloria Steinem, I don't know where she went or what happened to her, the Women's Liberation Organization, the WLO. She used to be everywhere. Yeah. And, you know, I certainly agree with equal pay, and but they have pushed, and some of this, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, some of this they have brought upon themselves. I think they never gave it some forethought that it could ever be advanced to this level of absurdity. Yeah. There is some credibility to that argument. But go ahead, sir.
So, you know, exactly. And that was the point that I was making. You got to be careful what you ask for, because sooner or later, somebody just might give it to you. Anyway, what I actually called in about, Biden mentioning the New World Order brought to mind something that I was reading about not long ago, where they were talking about Biden issuing a executive order. Now, he can't mandate that the Fed do anything, but he was suggesting that they begin to do some research into creating a digital currency. Well, here's what's the scary thing is, I don't know why there was the need for this encouragement, when they already have the Hamilton White Paper, which tells us that the Federal Reserve has already laid out everything they need to create a digital currency. And this is, it's called the Hamilton White Paper, but for those that want to look it up, the title is, grab your crayons, A High Performance Payment Processing System Designed for Central Bank Digital Currencies. This is the Hamilton White Paper It's a 35-page document laying out exactly how this central bank digital currency will function. They already have it in the works. It's just a matter of time before they put it into practice.
Hey, Art, let me interject this right there. On March 9th, the Biden administration issued a sweeping executive order directing a laundry list of government agencies to develop plans to regulate cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, as well as to produce a detailed plan to study the potential creation of a central bank digital currency, a CBDC, for the United States. If the federal government and the Federal Reserve were to ultimately issue a CBDC, it would be the first time in a century that America has released an entirely new currency. So I wanted to just give a little backdrop. This is what Art is talking about. It occurred on March 9th. Nobody much has covered it. And it is a gigantic step into some of the things we've talked about on broadcasts like this for years. Go ahead, sir.
Yep. And this is what some are referring to as Bretton Woods 3. I mean, here it is, folks. We are one step closer to the mark of the beast. I don't know what it's going to take before people figure that get this through their thick skulls. We have been hitting it out of the ballpark for how many years? Yet we're still called crazy conspiracy theorists.
Yep.
I don't get it. Anyway, Farron, thank you much, brother. And you have a great day. And everybody out there, have a great weekend if you can.
Hey, thank you so much. I had that story in my stack, and that, you know, obviously didn't get to it first hour, so I'm glad that Art brought that up. I mean, we're just it's not even incremental anymore. We're just taking gigantic steps. And the way they're treating this Ukrainian situation, we're taking gigantic steps to a complete enslaving system in America to where you're debanked and can't work and can't have a currency if you don't go along. And look at what they did with COVID, with the advent of these passports. I mean, it's all being conditioning of society to accept this non-freedom situation as normal. I'm sorry. Bruce in Texas, and then Daryl coming up. Bruce, how you doing? What's on your mind?
This is President Bush. It's a big idea, a new world order, where the laws of Jews run the lives of men.
That's not a bad impression, Bruce. That's not too bad.
Not too bad? Well, that's good. I'm good for something then. Hey, you remember back during the 90s and 2000s, it was all about, it's a war for oil. You know, it's a war for petroleum resources. And you would have pundits come on C-SPAN, Fox News, and CNN and say, well, you know, we need to secure our vital national security interest for our economy. You know, that was their excuse then. But right now, the whole thing has been exposed as a charade. It is never about war for oil then or now, because they don't give a rat's ass about us, about our oil supply. It's about global domination. It's about global domination for a group. Now, I'm going to say something that may be controversial, and if you feel uncomfortable, now I'll give you an invitation to just say, you know, we don't want to touch that. That's fine. You know, David Duke guest hosted National Intel Report about 2 weeks ago, and he's a former congressman. He's well spoken. He doesn't advocate, you know, killing people or anything like that. He's just on point on his message. And he's highly vilified. You know, he can't speak on any other platform that besides his own. And then several days later, on another show that's very popular in RBN, you get these two characters, Justin in New Jersey and Layla in Canada, who come up on the show host and tell him, look, it's not the Jews. Why do you keep talking about the Jews? It's, we can't have that. And he went right in lockstep with it and said, well, we're not going to discuss the Jews anymore on our program. And so I called in and said, well, look, no one's attacking them personally, but there, you cannot deny that there's global oligarchs and there's an organization of financially wealthy people who control our politics and who are thrusting us into World War III, and that wasn't acceptable. And so I just want to thank you for continuing to be open-minded and allowing us to speak truth to power. And what really happened, obviously, is not, it's false advertising. And that's all I have to say, and thank you for taking my call.
Well, hang on for me, Bruce. Let me just say one. You know, I have listened, as I'm sure you have too, at length to David Duke. And there is him. I mean, if there's anyone in this audience that doesn't know this, he has got to be the most vilified person in the world, maybe as far as just being criticized for his views and opinions. Now, do I agree with everything David Duke advocates or says? No. I've found things like, you know, I've differed with him on 9/11. But
me too.
As far as a history and a historical perspective and a historian and knowledgeable about so many different things, I mean, he could beat me to death with his knowledge. I mean, I don't hold a candle to his knowledge of history. So I think I would be for David Duke deserves free speech just like everybody else. And as far as discussing the issues that plague us today, we can never, ever solve a problem if we can't talk about the problem. You know, if we can't talk about the problem, we can't solve the problem. So that's where I stand on that, you know. And if that is a problem, then I've got a problem, because we got to be able to discuss the reality of the situation if we're ever going to address it. And this is why people need to be educated in the actual history of these things we discuss. Now, I don't harp on it all the time. I don't, you know, I don't do it nothing like probably David Duke. But I mean, this is a lot of what we talk about is undeniable history. It is facts that cannot be disputed. Who owns Facebook? Who owns the New York Times? Who owns Comcast? Who owns Viacom? Who is the CEO of the CDC? I mean, you can just go on and on. Who is the CEO of Pfizer? You can just go on and on and on. These are irrefutable, undeniable facts. And if you can't discuss irrefutable, undeniable facts, then, you know, if I can't discuss irrefutable, undeniable facts, I'm ready to take my headphones off and cut this computer off and say to hell with it. You know, that's where I'm at, Bruce.
What? Amen.
You got anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, Victoria Nuland, the State Department, Biden's cabinet, the Pfizer. I mean, on and on and on, you know. BlackRock. Look how they're deplatforming entire countries in any financial interest, in any corporation that won't go in lockstep with the you know, with the Ukraine agenda. I mean, it's clearly obvious. And then you had the Azov Battalion being funded by a rich Jewish oligarch. And Jonathan Greenblatt comes out and says, well, you know, they're not fighting against Jews, so it's okay. I mean, honk, honk, honk. Anyhow, thank you. And well said, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. If you'd like to call in, 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252, or you can use the 1-800-313-9443. We don't have the long list of callers. The only one on hold is Daryl. Daryl in Canada, thanks for calling in. How you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well. I hope, you know, honey tea, about 4 cups, and vitamin C, and drink about a gallon of water, warm water, even hot water, and get lots of sleep. That's your best bet there, Farron, on a personal note. Your last call, I mean, that was great. That, you and him, that was collaboration of about 6-7 minutes of beauty. I mean, that was such, the truth was just oozing out of that. That was so nice. And I don't laugh very much these days, Bruce. I had a really good laugh over your George Bush impression. So thank you very much for that. You know, the media's been focusing on, well, of course, the media, they've been focusing on about three things, like the ghost of Kiev and that Snake Island. Those are the first two big events. And now there's 300 people killed in Mariupol. I mean, there's videos circulating. I don't know what happened there, but there's video. You got to look at both sides of every story, right? There's videos circulating out there of Ukrainians that were obviously not killed. We're talking about the Azov Battalion, herding them into that, telling them to go cower and hide in there, and then they blew it up. So I don't know what happened, but there's definitely two sides to the story. And I think once the Russians clean out Mariupol and some of these civilians that are being held as human shields by Azov, not by Russians, and of course the media is blowing that up the wrong way, of course, everything, then we're going to know the truth about the theater. So, you know, this is just so disgusting about what they're saying about one-sided issue. I mean, the two greatest issues of all time as far as being skewed by the media is the vaccine and this Russian invasion type of thing. It's truly, if anybody with any head on their shoulders who wants to look at the Internet, at least 10% of the people that watch both, I guess, there's not very many, most watch the mainstream media, if they can't see that the mainstream media, along with the group that you guys were talking about a few minutes ago, that own it mostly, if they're not the enemy of the people, then nobody is. Nobody at all. Now, if you didn't want to say anything about that, Farron, I'd like to talk about Farron, I mean, COVID a little bit. It was interesting, was this about a week ago or so, maybe it was a little more, the life insurance companies are starting to deny claims from people that die shortly after getting this clot shot, as you like to say. It's amazing that we're going to see that. They might be the ones that eventually are going to deny enough claims and put enough publicity out there that are going to convince the normies of how dangerous this is, because most normies just don't believe that it's so dangerous. But it's going to take their life insurance or their father's life insurance being denied to them, and here's the evidence, and then they'll show the autopsy pictures. I think that they're going to have, I think in the next few years or so, or maybe they're probably thinking about it right now, life insurance companies are going to start hiring monumental armies of coroners or doctors to take a look at, and especially future. It's not so much now, it's the future. If I was worried about getting a shot, I'd be worried more about not what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. It's like the next 2 years or 10 years. When you see these clots that are going to be pulled out of people, like the ones you see on the Internet, where they're like a foot long and they're thick, that are going to be pulled out of people that have died, these insurance companies are going to say, this is not normal. This is vaccine-induced. This is an experimental jab that you took. You took a chance. It's like taking fentanyl. We're not going to give you your claim. So I think the insurance companies have to do that. If they're not sitting in a boardroom talking about what I'm just talking about right now, or if they're listening, you better do it. You guys are not going to survive, because there's going to be, I don't know, what is it? What's the number, unless a lot of people took saline instead of this poison? Probably by 2030, I'm thinking at least a billion, maybe 2 billion people will either be dead or living just absolutely miserably with their immune system down about 70%, which is apparently the percentage that they have right now after two shots. So, you know, their immune system is open to anything. I mean, I had a good friend, his father, just as an example here, his father had cancer. He was fighting it pretty well for about 5 years. He's 6-7 years, actually. He started to go downhill a little bit. He took two clot shots in the summertime, and within 3 months, it was like he was going up the top of a roller coaster, and then he, you know what happens when you go a little further than that, right? You come down that fast. So just an example. If your immune system can't fight anything off, you're in big trouble.
I think that's a very good analogy of what we're going to see going forward, because insurance companies are in business to make money, and this could potentially bankrupt the insurance company, and they're going to start looking at it like, hey, you know, if you have an insurance policy but you commit suicide, they don't pay off, you know, and you chose to get this. Of course, you could make the argument there was a lot of people, it was mandated, they had to get it, they didn't have a choice, but still, that would be the fault of the one that mandated it, you know. Mm-hmm. They would be the one that would really be liable for causing the death of this person, or the whatever happened if they become an invalid or have serious medical problems. So, yeah, it is interesting. And, you know, the insurance companies have been, I done a story several weeks ago, where they're the ones putting out these mortality rates and this increase in death and, you know, 50-year highs. But that information is reported on this network and places like this and various websites, but the majority of the American people, which I think there is a much larger segment, Daryl, that's looking into things and looking at websites and watching BitChute and whatnot, that ever has been, but will they ever really come to grips with it? I don't know. We got 1 minute till break. It's yours. Then we'll come back with Paul, Mark, Frank, and Jason. Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, I just want to say about, I mentioned it last week or 2 weeks ago, about the spike protein. I mean, I've been looking into it. I encourage you, Ferrant, you can do a show on it. This could be very dangerous to people. I wouldn't take a chance getting around people as far as that have been vaxxed, especially in the last 40 days, like in a car for any prolonged period of time in a house. I was supposed to go to a house tonight with a bunch of people. I declined. I just don't want to take a chance that are vaxxed or heaven forbid, have sex with a girl or the other way around. If you're a lady listening, or blood transfusion. There was this story about this guy that had a blood transfusion. He was unvaxxed. He ended up having the equivalent of three shots put in him, the equivalent of three shots, all three at once. So if you got to avoid this stuff, I don't know if it's true, but, you know, a lot of stuff 15 months ago, apparently, Farron, that we were talking about, is true now that we were conspiracy theorists. So, you know, most literature says no. John in New York called about this. He's a very good caller. I'd like to hear what he has to say. But there's a lot of literature out there that is growing that says, yes, this is very dangerous, not just to get sick, but maybe the spike protein to multiply in your body. And then you turn out to be a zombie like a vax person and end up being all the things that I talked about 5 minutes ago. So better to try to avoid the vaxxed, especially the newly vaxxed, like the plague, because you just never know. I don't know what's going to happen, but man, oh man, it's just not worth taking a chance, Farron.
Yeah,
look into
it. I think there's a lot of validity to that. Hey, thank you so much. Always enjoy your phone call, Daryl. Paul thank in you. New Jersey, Mark, Frank, Jason coming up. Paul, how you doing? Thanks for calling.
Hello, Farron. I heard an earlier caller talking about the overrepresentation of Jews in many of these you know, governmental positions in academia. Now, notice we have laws that have offended the Asians, where Asians are restricted from college entrance because they're overrepresented. And people accept that. Likewise, it's established in law. We have laws to elevate blacks when they're unskilled and, you know, incompetent into high positions. Just to give them representation, and that too has been accepted culturally and as codified in law. It's been approved of by the Supreme Court. So the next logical step is simple, is we have to, first of all, be able to differentiate and establish Jews as a separate sub-race of whites. And we have to basically pass restriction laws restricting them to an appropriate percentage of their population. If Jews are 3% of the population, then therefore 3% of the Supreme Court justice appointees should be Jewish. 3% of the attorney generals should be Jewish. 3% of secretary of states should be Jewish. So that would mean about every 150 years, there should be one Jewish Secretary of State. And so and we have to be bold about this and talk about this a problem of Jewish overrepresentation, because they're very insular, they're very ethnocentric, and in a sense, they're very regressed, they're very primitive. Although we like to think of them, and they like to think of themselves as worldly and cosmopolitan, actually, they are the most bigoted group of people there are in the United States, I would argue. And so, and more the reason, because of their ethnocentrism, because of their aloofness and not wanting to fit in or assimilate, that makes it even more important that they get restricted from high positions of power. And as I said, in academia, they should be restricted to 3% of the admissions to Harvard, right? And these laws could solve the Jewish problem. They just have to be, we have to work to get these ideas out in public. Now, one last thing that I think that stands in the way also is in the conservative camp is this aversion to socialism. You know, because so many conservatives out there, one minute they're railing against the wealthy plutocrats like the Bill Gateses, the Zuckerbergs, and others, and at the same and the next breath, these pundits and conservatives, they are working fervently to make sure that these people are allowed to keep all their earnings and money, and you don't want to tax the wealthy, because that's envy, Farron. You know, Rush Limbaugh used to say that. Socialism is because of envy. I argue socialism is not out of envy. Socialism is working to basically not allow the excessive economic power in the hands of too few, just as our government was established to not put an excessive amount of power in the hands of too few. And I would like to remind your audience that back in the during World War II, there were laws enacted that basically said when somebody earned over $400,000 a year, all monies over that $400,000 a year earned by the plutocrats back in those days would be taxed at 90%. So at everything over the $400,000 above that, it's taxed at 90%. Now, that's socialist, Farron. But clearly, we have a problem of rich plutocrats who are out of control, and because of the excessive amount of financial power they have, especially when you consider George Soros, right? He's able to take his billions, fund revolutions in Ukraine, stir up economic problems, and also fool with foreign nations' financial systems and help ruin their currencies and target third world nations' currencies. And so those are that's the policy we have to take. And by the way, remember when you talk, you don't call yourself a socialist when you're trying to make any friends with conservatives, because they're going to, you know, like just rail against you. But the fact of the matter is, the policies of American taxations of this great graduated income tax, that was during the time of Dwight D. Eisenhower, a Republican as president, and he was perfectly fine at taxing the rich at 90% over $400,000. And those, I think, are simple solutions that we should be public about and get out there to solve both the Jewish problem and the problem of our plutocrats getting out of control, trying to manipulate markets and steer political discourse. And I'd like to hear your response, Farron.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It reminds me, Paul, of year after year after year, you'll see stories where these super rich elite like Bill Gates and others don't pay any taxes. They don't pay any taxes. But you can just be a self-employed businessman and maybe make $40,000 of taxable income, and they'll have you mailing a check, you know, for $6,000 to the state and federal government, and you know, you're and that's on top of, not to get into the tax, but, you know, you've got your property tax, sales tax, tax on gas, tax on your car. I mean, we're just taxed into poverty. That's a whole different story. And what you said about the 3%, you know, I don't hold me to this number, but I think that the Ivy League schools like Harvard, the actual percentages that are enrolled there, like these days, that are Jewish, are like 15 to 20%. I mean, it is massive over representation, and it is, and it's not just in the student population, but it also carries over into the staff. And, you know, like I've heard others say, you go to Harvard, you've got your ticket punched, you know. And so affirmative action, which has turned into reverse racism, in my opinion, I don't disagree with the percentage theory, but if we just move to a merit-based system where the most qualified person gets the scholarship or the job or the enrollment, we would have a much, much more fair system than we've got now. Thank you, Paul. Always enjoy your phone call. Mark, Frank, Jason coming up. Back in a moment.
truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're back on the Alternative Media Fair and in the studio taking your phone calls for the rest of the broadcast. You know there's bills in Congress, Democrat bills in Congress, to send payments to Americans to help compensate for the high gas prices. So you're not going to fix the problem. You're going to just mail out checks. I mean, it's just incredible. Mark in Florida, then Frank and Jason coming up. Mark, how you doing? Thanks for holding.
I'm doing good, Farron. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. I just wanted to add, this is my personal take on things, is there's no such thing as a Jew. There might be a Jewish religion, but there's no such thing as a Jew. I call these liars and thieves Bolsheviks, and that's what they are. They're Bolsheviks, and they believe the state is God and that they run the state. So, and that way it doesn't drag in everybody that might worship as a Jew. So I just wanted to throw that in. I call them Bolsheviks. That's what they are, and that's what they do. So thank you, Farron.
Thank you so much, Mark. Frank in New York, thanks for holding. How you doing today?
just taking. Can you hear me, Farron?
Yeah, I got you, Frank.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. You got a great show. First of all, Farron, I'd like to point out a lot of broken promises by Donald Trump, if I may, to the audience. He didn't build a wall. He didn't jail Hillary. He didn't get out of the Middle East. He didn't get along with Russia. He didn't overturn Obamacare. He didn't get a vaccine commission off the ground. He didn't get a no voter or a voter integrity commission off the ground. He didn't fix the infrastructure. He didn't reinstate Glass-Steagall, and he didn't defund sanctuary cities. But, Farron, the reason I originally called was for David Duke. When I heard his show last Friday, that was one of the best shows I'd ever heard, okay? When I turned it on last night and he wasn't on, I was not depressed, but I was kind of, you know, I said, gee, what happened to David Duke? I thought he did well. You know, Farron, I'm sure you remember the Jonestown massacre, right? When Alex Jones had David Duke on for a debate. And David
Oh,
Duke,
yeah.
You
Frank,
know,
Frank in North Carolina, who is now passed, really got that set up. Let me ask you this, because I'm not – until Bruce called in, I didn't know the specifics. Were they setting it up maybe where David was going to do Friday's and then because it became...
I don't know. I just heard him on that Friday, and I thought it might become a regular thing, okay? And I was shocked to hear that other callers called in and said, oh, they don't want him on the air. I mean, that man makes a lot of sense. When he was debating Alex Jones, I mean, he had all this documentation there showing this and showing that. He had Alex stuttering. And you know, Farron, I listen to Alex. I still do. And he brings up Frank in one of his commercials there. Whenever I hear him insulting Frank like that, I turn the show off for a while. You know, because Frank was a trooper. He was a warrior out there for all of us, okay? You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think David Duke makes a lot of sense. He's, you know, he goes through it slowly here, this and that, this and that. He brings the information, and he provides it. You know, he was a young kid. Well, not a young kid. He was in his early 20s, I think, when he joined the Klan, and he was out in 2 years. He never promoted violence. He never did anything like that. You know, we had, I think it was Harry Byrd, who was the head of the Senate. Hillary voted for him, and Barack Obama voted for him to head up the Senate. And he was in the Klan until he was 48, I think, and I think he was in it for like 20-something years, where David Duke was in it for 2 years. You know, David Duke's pretty good friends with Patrick Slattery. You know, Patrick Slattery's on the show. He's there with Jeremy and whatever. I love Patrick Slattery, and I think David Duke would be a welcome, talk show host on the station if they gave him a chance. You know, I don't know whether he'd want to do it. You know, he's got his own show. You know what I mean? Over in Rents, you know, where people can go and hear him. But I think when he comes with the knowledge, with the facts. You know what I mean? And I never heard him say the N-word or this or that. I mean, you know, what I used to think of him, I thought he was the worst guy in the world. You know, Hitler was number one, and then David Duke was number two. But after listening to him for a year or two, he makes a lot of sense. And I don't think he's really hates people the way that we've been told he was. You know, and he never was involved in violence, as I previously stated. You know what I mean? I just don't see why people would call up. You know, this is supposed to be a free speech platform. This is one of the places where you go and you hear different things. You know, if you hear him say something and you think he's wrong or you know he's wrong, call in and say, no, you made a mistake there, Mr. Duke, this or that. I don't agree with his stance on the Khazars, okay? But that's irrelevant. I mean, the main issues are who's running the show these days. And, you know, we know who it is. You know, the fellow who just called in said he could call them Bolsheviks. You can call them what you want, Khazars, crypto Jews, whatever. But we know that the power is centralized in a few folks' hands. And they're the ones, you know, running the show. They control the medical industry, you know, pharmaceutical industry, the military industrial complex, Hollywood, the media. I mean, it's, you know, these people have a lot of influence. You know, Alex Jones tells us it's the Chinese and the Arabs and this and that. But, you know, ever since David spanked them, I think Alex has lost his way a little bit.
Yeah, I did. Really enjoyed the Jonestown massacre. I mean, I've looked forward to it. I watched it as it happened, and
me too.
Well, you know, Frank, on a platform like this, you're going to have hosts that have varying opinions on everything or anything. It doesn't matter.
For sure, and for sure. That's what people it is. Have, free speech.
People have the right to listen or not listen. You know, there's host on this network that I enjoy more so than others. I have that.
Me too.
Right.
You're one of them. You know,
and so
I'm sorry.
Well, I would have no problem at all with David Duke being on this network.
And if, I was looking forward to it. I mean, you know, calling for somebody to be censored or something, that's what we're supposed to be fighting against. Let everybody throw their statements out there. If you don't like what they have to say, call up and say, hey, look, you're wrong here, or I don't think that's right, or whatever. You know, let's discuss it. Let's not just say, oh, take him off the air. I don't want him on here. He's, he's toxic or something like that. That's garbage.
Hey, Frank, let me throw down this gauntlet. If anyone... you know, if he is so wrong and he's got it so incorrect, challenge him to a debate and see how that
exactly.
See how that
works. Well, might not after they saw what he did to Jones. You know what I mean? You know, Jones took that thing down the next day. He tried to censor that and put it, you know, get rid of that quickly. You know, he was embarrassed. I mean, and Duke did embarrass him. I mean, you know, not intentionally. He was just bringing up the facts, and he had his documentation there. I was shocked at how, you know, articulate and precise he was, and he moved along steadily and just bringing truth. That's the way I thought his show was last Friday. He came out, he made a lot of statements, and he went through them. Here's this, here's that. You know what I'm saying? There, fair enough. I think he'd be a welcome addition to the network. That's my opinion. Obviously, some people don't agree with it, but I don't call for censoring anybody. That's not the way to go.
And, you know, right now with the situation in the Ukraine where David went to college there has toured that whole area. I mean, he met Alexander Solzhenitsyn, for God's sake. I mean, back to this. You know, I don't listen to radio I don't like. I don't listen to radio I don't like. I never sit around and listen to radio I don't like so that I can criticize.
Right,
I do sometimes listen to radio I don't like so I can call in. Like, I've been calling in to some of the local shows just to debate, but I better move on. I'm getting a full.
Okay, all right, Farron. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you for your phone call. Jason in Louisiana, then we got Mike and Charlie coming up. Jason, how you doing? Thanks for holding on, sir.
Good. How you been? Good morning. Regarding the Jews, do you think this might have been going on for longer than we think? Because I find it fascinating that the Emperor Vespasian adopted this Josephus guy, that he was a Jew that was fighting against Rome. Then he adopts and gives him his name, Flavius Josephus, and he writes all these other books. And then I started a book, and in the introduction, it says, oh, I'm a Roman agent. See, because what people don't understand is that in the first Jewish revolt, the Jews were a big-time terrorist organization against the Roman Empire. And they were so messianic in their fervor that they had to come up with another religion to kind of calm everything down, because they were having a real problem with these zealots. And that's why they had to really kick their butt and take down the temple, you know? So, you know, I mean, what do you think?
I'm going to have to.
And then later,
I'm not going to be able to. I don't know if everybody else was hearing you good or not, Jason. It was cutting in and out a little bit for me. But, you know, if you look back through the history and you look at all of the countries that have expelled the Jews for various reasons, I always use this analogy. You know, if I got thrown out of 100 Walmarts in North Carolina and South Carolina, whose fault would that be, mine or Walmart's? And so I can't really – all right, it was him. It was a weak connection. I didn't really hear you really good, unfortunately, so I've got a full stack of calls. I'm going to try to get everybody on, but I certainly do appreciate the phone call. I don't think I've talked to you before. Feel free to call back in anytime. Mike in South Carolina, Charlie, Laura, Miles coming up. I'm going to get to everybody. Everybody hold it up to about a couple of minutes if you can. Mike, how you doing? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good to hear your voice. Good program, solid, good callers. I want to take people a little bit farther back into the biblical if you want to be there. They were known as Canaanites and Edomites, okay? And the Bolshevik Edomites are the ones who've taken everything over. Those are your problem children. I also want to leave everybody with a thought from Frank from North Carolina, who's very much missed. And that is, the truth is hate to those who hate the truth. Keep up the good work, Aaron.
Hey, thank you so much. And, you know, just to take a quick minute, a couple of days ago I was going through a desk, cleaning it out, and lo and behold, I found a card that Frank had mailed me. He mailed me a gift card shortly before he had that stroke. It was actually the Christmas before he had that stroke, which I believe occurred in toward the end of January. But it just really revived a bunch of really good memories thinking about Frank. Charlie in Florida, patiently holding. Thank you, Charlie. How you doing? What's on your mind?
Oh, good morning, Farron. I just wanted to comment on a few things. I think that caller a moment ago was touching on. Here's what I think. It's just my opinion, but about Mike Rivera, I like his show a whole lot. I do. But I don't think that we should be restricting what people say on this network. It's one of the last bastions of free speech, you know. And if just because a person uses the term Jews or whatever, that's it's kind of nitpicking, really, I think, you know. I can understand it if someone's calling in and just absolutely slandering them, you know, to a point or something like that. But if they're pointing out facts or, you know, if they're mentioning things that are real or things that are historical, I think we need to look at that. And we shouldn't try to control the speech on here. Now, the other thing I wanted to comment on was a gentleman who called in and he was talking about the Trump. You know, I've heard a lot of people say give Trump bad press because he didn't get the build the wall. I don't think a lot of people understand how the sausage is made up there in Washington, D.C. It took him over 2 years of his first term just to get to buy up the property and to get the lawsuits, you know, settled. He had over 11 something lawsuits going on. And it's the same with things like I hear him say he didn't get rid of the sanctuary cities. Well, he did everything he could, but, you know, at the end, it's up to the city. We live in a country here that, you know, is from supposed to be run from the bottom up, and the cities have autonomy in their own city, you know, as to what they want to do. Now, he could have cut off their federal funds, and I think he did threaten them with that, but that's about the extent of it. You know, a lot of things that Trump did, I don't think that we even realize today. Now, there's one thing that I wanted to mention on Trump, and a lot of people don't realize this, but he just said recently that he said that he really is kind of praising Putin over there for what he's doing. He said that Putin has taken over the Ukraine with peacekeepers, is what he called them. They're going in there to create the peace. And he said it's a win-win situation for Putin and the world. Basically, it was what he was saying. And so he's on the right side there, too. He says Biden has bungled everything over there. And he said Putin is kicking Biden's rear two or three ways down the road. So I think what we're seeing over there is definitely this thing of the Bidens and all the crooks over there trying to hold on to that cash cow they've had over there. And Putin's trying to, come in and kind of liberate and get rid of those people, you know, so... Anyway,
a lot of things are being exposed, and you know, back in the press, at least about the Hunter Biden, crack pipe Biden, being involved in these bio labs. And let me say this too, Charlie, and I've got to move quickly, but you know, I've got a lot of criticism for Donald Trump. But I will say this: a whole lot of what he wanted to achieve, he could have achieved if he had had a strong, supportive Republican Party, his own party. Was so weak and pathetic and impotent and countered him on every move. And the Republicans had complete majorities in the House and the Senate from 2016 to 2018. And they bungled and messed up just about everything. And, you know, didn't do anything about voter fraud, didn't do anything about big tech censorship. And of course, you know, Donald Trump now censored. I mean, all of these things they could have done if they'd have just got in line and supported some of these things that he actually wanted to do would be good for the country, but instead they fought him at every corner. And so, you know, you have to look at it, give that some merit also. But hey, thank you so much, Laura in Michigan, Miles in Maine. I'm going to get to you, Laura. How you doing? What's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Hello, Farron. I just wanted to say a couple of good things about Putin because we don't hear a lot of good things about him. In 2010, he he's been meeting, he had met with before Solzhenitsyn died in 2008. And anyway, he'd been meeting with him. Solzhenitsyn told him, you got to keep God in your country because these Bolsheviks are anti-God and atheists, as we know. And anyway, so that's why Putin, you know, rebuilt a lot of churches in Russia. And also, what happened was, there was a hard communist. The street around the Kremlin had a name of a hard communist on it. He had it in 2010. He had it taken off and made it Alexander Solzhenitsyn Street. And also, and Alexander's wife was present. He also stated he wanted every high schooler to read their Gulag Archipelago so they know what could happen. I think that's wonderful. All the high school students are going to read that book. I think that's excellent.
Wow, Laura, that's some good information. I didn't know any of that, you know, and we talk sometimes about how Putin has opposed sexualizing the youth. He doesn't allow this gay porn agenda and all this homosexual agenda to be pushed on the young children. He makes movies that Disney makes that are here for children. He makes them rated R in Russia. And so, I mean, there's a lot. I'm not saying he's a perfect guy. I'm not any of that. But there's a lot of things that can be said about him that certainly is not criticism. And a lot of that you just shared, I was totally unaware of. And that is the beauty of RBM.
He's our only stopgap against the Jew world order. He's the only.
Let me say this before I go to Miles. He sent out a flyer to everyone in the military and told, and in that flyer that he sent out to his military, he said in that flyer, you are fighting the satanic new world order. Now, that was reported that he sent out, I can't verify that it's true, but you can look into it for yourself. That was reported that he sent that out. Of course, they were criticizing him about it, but in that reality, I think he's telling the truth. All right, thanks, Laura, for the phone call. Miles in Maine, you'll be the last caller. We got about 3 or 4 minutes. They're yours.
Those are good.
Hey, Miles.
Good morning, Farron. Yeah, those were good calls by Art and by Paul and some of the callers there. On the commentary by Bruce, I was on that show that day. That was Michael Rivero's show, by the way. I'm not holding back in any way. That's who it was. He hung up on three callers, including me. I was the caller after Bruce. And I simply said, you know, whether you like it or not, Bruce should be able to say what he wants. That's what this is about. That's why we donate to RBN, which now I don't anymore, and now I don't listen to Rivero anymore. But they start this nonsense. Soon as Bruce called, oh, we're getting many calls now. We're getting everybody's calling in. We're not going to be able to talk about this and that. So, you know, and like I said, Rivero cut me off because I said, Bruce, whether you agree with him or not, this is his commentary and how he sees things. We don't call the show to have Rivero or anybody else editorialize what we're saying. And, you know, we support the station, you know. I don't know what the hosts do aside from having the show, but we're the people that donate the money. And, so then I called in, and then this screener Mike starts, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I said, let me tell you something. I've known John Stadtmiller personally 27 years, and John Stadtmiller's turning in his grave because of what you're doing here. I said, if somebody wants to talk, that's their right, whether you agree with it or not, and you should allow them to speak, whoever they are. And, this is just not, oh, everybody's calling in. Well, then tell everybody go to hell. Tell them this is a free speech network. You know, and these callers are exactly right. The Duke show was on. Everybody seemed to like it when Duke was on. I honestly thought after that day that he was going to have a spot on there. But, you know, this is ridiculous where the network's going to, or some of the hosts or some of the screeners are going to try and editorialize what people say. And that's not what this network is about. It's about you can handle the truth, and we pay for you guys, you know, to be able to handle the truth. So that's all I wanted to say. It was a good call by Bruce. It was nothing vicious or malicious or anything. He just was expressing his view like he does eloquently in many, many instances and very knowledgeable. And I really did not care for that, Farron, because it's something you would never do, and John Stadtmiller would never, ever do that. There's another one like that, too, that clown. There's a clown on there, Kelso, and he does that stuff. You can't even refer to World War II history or anything on his show. I don't listen to him anyway, but I did listen to Rivero, and, you know, after that show and after that commentary, it, just the whole setup, everybody's calling in. I mean, my God, the guy just got off the phone, and all these people are calling in, but the lines are full. You know, it was ridiculous. It was simply tomfoolery going on there, Farron. What's your commentary?
Well, I didn't know there had been any kind of controversy. I don't listen to a whole lot. I listen to some shows on RBN. I'll keep it to myself. But I really, you know, like I was talking with Bruce, I mean, I take calls. I get calls sometimes where I really disagree with their opinions or their, but I usually don't take them to task unless it's really absurd or it's really, right. You know, because I do believe it's so important that we have a free speech platform where people can discuss their views. And, you know, my show, I feel like, has the most intelligent callers many times, like the stuff Laura just shared. I didn't know that. I don't claim to be all-knowing. That was some good information. And all these guys, I mean, Mark, Frank, Jason, Charles, you, Miles, Paul, Bruce, Daryl, Art. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Thank you.
My take is, you know, we can't censor certain topics.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for that compliment there, Farron, because I love this show. And the callers are sensational, and I learn a lot from all of them there and you especially. But then the following day, he continued with a caller with Peter from Los Angeles, who's a regular caller that everybody likes. Then it got to the point to where he was going to describe how we could refer to a Jew, you know. I mean, if you refer to an Italian or a Polish, I mean, there's only one way, you know, that's their nationality, that's their religion. They have a dual, they're one of the few people that their religion and their ethnicity can be the same. But then he wanted us to use some type of pronouns and some other stuff. And then Peter just, you know, started telling him, hey, you know. And then he hung up on him the following day. So,
all right. Well, we've got music. Hey, thanks to all you guys calling in. Really helped me out this second hour because I was struggling. But already feeling better. Already. And I'm going to take some of your advice there, Daryl, too. When they come for your gold and they're coming, give them the lead. And when they come for your guns and they're coming, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.